Welcome to Chiropractic Leaders Audio Experience, teaching students to be successes of tomorrow, helping doctors get to the next level. Here's your host, Dr. Joseph Clarino.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of Chiropractic Leaders. I am your host, Dr. Joe Clarino, and we are here in week 4 or 5 of COVID, whatever we're in here now. I know. How we doing, guys?
Doing good.
Things are good, man. Things are picking up. Volume's picking up a little bit better, and things are getting better every week, getting more intentional. The things we're doing, the touch points, the communication, the outside stuff, the internet. We're doing hangouts, and we're just doing different things with people and patients just to try to get Facebook Lives. Everything we can do just to get people so we can just continue to get them educated and understand what we do is important, which kind of brings us to our discussion today, which was progress exams, right? And so the reality of that is that our progress exams are probably the most important touch points we can have with patients when they come in the office. And the reason they're so important is because it's a true litmus test to where they're starting and where they are, where they're going, what they're doing, what do they know, what they don't know, you know, all these questions, and we have to solve it in how long?
Right there.
A few minutes,
yep. Right? We got a few minutes to solve this whole thing, right? Because we don't have 30 minutes to go through it again. We have to solve it quickly. Yep. So let's just, you guys break it down, man. This is you know, I'm here to coach it and lead it, but the reality is, what are some of the things that when you walk into a progress one, this is important. So let's go over progress exam one. It's at their first 12 visits of what they've done. What is it you're looking for? So just give me some scenarios so we can break through them.
Yeah, so I mean, like you said, what they know. So if they're getting the educational aspect of it, so that's where the questionnaire comes in. Make sure that they understand like what a subluxation is and essentially the phase of degeneration they're in. That was one. Two.
But so before you go any deeper, so let's go through scenarios on that, the questionnaire, right? So you're reading the questionnaire prior going into the exam. You're looking at it. They got 5 things wrong. Subluxation, degeneration, they've got bad habits wrong, they've got whatever else wrong, right? So why is that important? What is that telling you?
Well, for one, that there's some chronicity, the thing that's going on. They've been a bad place for a long time, and like their phase is going to show that in their regeneration. And two, that's going to remind them that this isn't going to be a quick, easy fix.
Good. What else? If they're not answering questions right, what does that tell you?
They're not understanding what you're doing as a chiropractor.
So what didn't you do to make them understand that?
Day one, day two
sucked for some reason, missed something somewhere. What else did they miss? What else have they not done right, or you have not done right?
Haven't got them to commit to the care?
Possibly, right? If they're missing frequency, right? If their frequency's off, then you can say typically people that have off frequency aren't on care plans. If they're not on care plans, that means that they're not going to commit to the care, right? So that means they're going to come when they think they need to come. So usually inconsistency of timing equals value of care, and then it also equals the fact that they're on a care plan, right? Good. So that's the first thing. What else did it tell you? What else have you done?
What have they learned?
Okay. How do they learn it?
Through report of findings in day – well, not necessarily day one, but report of findings, knee to knee, table talk. So the last 12 visits, table talk, consistently educating the patient about subluxations and their personal subluxations, what they find, what the doctor finds daily or whenever they come in, of course.
Right. And then how do they get those subluxations?
Through stress, the three-legged stool, not breaking bad habits.
Right. Keep going.
Not doing home exercises and breaking the rhythm of their subluxation or their daily business.
Right, so they understand that the three-legged stool in the beginning, which is the bad habits, right, exercising, and frequency. If they understand that from day one or as much as they can on every visit for what they're doing, and you're going over that over and over and over again, every time they come in, they're like, oh, my back hurts. You say what?
Where? That's not the correct thing.
But what would you say?
Usually,
what have you done?
Yeah, like it's where does it hurt? But the correct question I assume would be is like, I'm not that you're glad that it hurts, but hey, great that there's like changes going on.
Yeah, so you can be like, okay, so you can go from that side of it and be like, hey, listen, man, okay, so what's going on? Okay, so you got a little sore. Okay, that could be a good thing. You know what I mean? We're making some changes. Sometimes you get changes, you get sore, right? Also, too, you ask the question, like Dr. Greg said, what have you been doing? Right? What have you done differently? What have you done? What have you changed? Has anything changed? Anything going on? Have you done it? Like, you make them think about their life. Every time they bitch, make them think about what they're doing. Why? Because most of the time, what is it? What they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Or what they're not doing.
Yeah, what they're not doing, right? So you got either side of it, what they're doing or they're not doing, right? So they could be doing things wrong or not doing things they should be doing to make themselves better. So you have to make them understand that it is not our job to solve their problem. It's their job to solve their problem. We just facilitate it. And if you teach them that in the first 12 visits, everything else is downhill. Because realistically, are you that good that you can fix their problems all the time? Does chiropractic fix anything? Do you fix anything? No, we don't. And if you really believe that, then the reality is it's on them, not on you. Do we help people get better? Yeah, we help people get better by removing subluxation. But if they continue to do things wrong and they're in front of a computer for 12 hours a day on a laptop, on a couch, how good are you? You ain't that good. You ain't out subluxating at 12 hours. I promise you, just not. You're not going to hold their visits. And until they understand the value of that and they understand it's on them, not on you, on them, then what happens is they stop what? If they understand it's on them, what do they come and stop doing? They stop complaining. They stop bitching because, and I'm saying that respectfully, but that's what the reality is. They stop complaining because the reality is they think it's you to fix. And the second you flip that script and say, no, it's on you. What are you doing? We had a patient here this morning. He said, hey, man, my right shoulder's been killing me. I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, I said, if you fix your computer screen? He goes, yeah, I got a double monitor. I got a loose keyboard now. I'm doing it. I said, okay, great. Have you tried even try to change the angles of inch or two higher or lower? He goes, no. I said, try it. Because what's coming out of your spine right now is from that computer. So although you're doing everything I ask you, thank you. I appreciate you doing it. It may be off an inch or two. You're a tall guy. Like, it may be off an inch or two. So just keep playing with it and try it. He goes, okay, I'll do it. Did I take any part of that responsibility? None. Zero. It's not my responsibility. Listen, 22 years of doing this, I don't want anyone else's shit. I got off my shit on my own. I don't need anyone else's. I don't need anyone else's problems. I don't need anyone else's problem issues. I don't need anything else. I got enough of my own. I don't need yours. Right? And I definitely don't need 500 people a week. It's problems. So the reality of it is that it's their problem and they have to solve it. But you have to make sure they understand it is their problem. Number two, what was that?
What we just went over?
Yeah.
What have they learned?
What have they learned, right? Mm-hmm. So inside of that is like, so what have they learned in the sense of like, how are they breaking those bad habits? What are they doing in between that? So where would they have learned that?
Well, one, their report of findings and like what's causing their problems. And two, if they made it to the better results, faster class and learned, well, how can I then break those bad habits and what the recommendations are?
Excellent. Right. So that's education, right? Better results faster. If they're not doing things that break their habits, likely they weren't at the class. They're not at the class. The class, I've been saying this 1,000 times. I'll say it 1,000 more. It's the icing on the cake. It's the bow on the box. It's what seals up everything. Without the class, you're leaving doors open for them to leave and walk out because they don't fully understand where the problem's coming from. And that's why that class is so important. And sometimes it's a pain in the ass to get people there. It really is. I mean, I have friends that literally say, if you don't come to the class, you don't show up to the practice. Don't show up 2 weeks, you're out. Here's your money back. Good luck. And they hold it. They hold the line to it. And the ones that hold the line harder are the ones that get bigger and bigger. That's just the way it is. Those, they all say over 1,000 a week, those clinics, every one of them. Because all of them are like, it's either my way or the highway. I don't want to do it. Okay, thank you, no problem. Have a good day. Be good. Yeah, I'm not that rigid. I wish I was. You know what I mean? But we're pretty strong about it, but we're not that rigid. You know what I mean? So you know, it's something to be said for it. I don't want to see 1,000 a week. So maybe that's part of the problem. So, you know what I mean? What else is there?
Number three, where they were and where they're going.
Right. So it's important because everybody forgets about where they were, especially in the first 12 visits, not as bad, but especially when you get into further progress exams or re-exams, they don't even remember what's going on with them. This is why every progress exam, you have a questionnaire. What is it doing? It's reminding them of what?
Where they were.
Where they were and what's going on with them. And where are they now and where are they going to go? What do they want? And what do they want is called what?
Their goals.
Your goals, right? And those goals are important. If those goals are serious and they really want to meet their goals and you want to get them there, that's important, right? So I had a patient the other day that everybody's trying to get goals out of them. Everybody. No one got goals out of them. No one. No. Everybody's like, I can't get goals out of them. This has been gone for probably, I would say, a good 4 years he's been here. No one can get a goal out of him. So I went in and did the report with him the other day. And I was like, hey. I'm like, what's going on? They're like, nothing. I'm like, how you doing? He goes, great. Everything's good. And so we started talking. And I'm like, listen, man, here's the deal. I don't really know what you want out of this whole thing, but you've been here 4 years. And I think it's great. But the reality is that it's also realized that you may not be doing everything you can to be healthy. And I see that you're having some high blood pressure, you're having some other stuff. So the reality is I would like to try to help. I would like to try to help you with those things so you can be healthier. But the question is, do you want to be healthier? Because if I don't, then I'm wasting my breath. He's like, you know, it's just hard because I'm home alone and I really don't want to cook for just me. So I just grab fast food. I said, okay, do you grab fast food because you just don't want to cook, or you grab fast food because you're just cooking for yourself? And he's like, well, really, because it's just for myself. I said, so he told me right there he's lonely, mm-hmm. Right? So I said, listen, so if you're lonely and you feel like there's no reason to be healthier, then why would you try to want to be healthier? Like, you get it? Like, there's no purpose to it, right? So I said to him, I said, let me ask you this. I said, do you want to have open heart surgery in 10 years? And he went, no. And I said, well, if you continue doing what you're doing, you're going to have open heart surgery. You're going to have a heart attack or die or have open heart surgery. And I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm just trying to be real. I'm just trying to be your doctor. Is that okay? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, you're going to have a heart attack or have to have open heart surgery. And I said, so you have to choose. I don't want to cook for myself because I just don't want to cook for myself and fast food's easier. Or do you want to choose to be home and have a heart attack or open heart surgery by yourself? You pick it. But I'm telling you, as your doctor and what I've seen, this is the trajectory you're on. He's like, yeah, I know. I said, then what are we going to do to fix it? I said, listen, you don't have to cook for yourself. You know how you do? You cook for four. You know how you cook for four? You cook for four different meals, right? So you take a meal, you make it the size for four, and you break it up, you freeze it, and you have it for dinner tonight, lunch tomorrow, and then you save it another time. This way you don't got to cook for yourself again. I said, if you did that twice a week, simple, and you did that, how different would your life look in a week? He's like, massive. So great. Walking. I said, what if you took twice a week, you walked around the block for me a couple times, twice a week, get out and get some exercise. You think it would help you? Maybe loosen your joints up a little bit. Maybe you hold your adjustments a little better. Maybe not let you sit at the desk for 10 hours a day. Maybe do it at lunchtime so you can break your pattern up in your day because you're at your desk all day at your house. You think that would help or hurt you? He goes, it would help me. Why wouldn't you do it? Right? And he's just like, I'm like, listen, man, can we just agree that in the next exam, you have eaten better, you've made some meals for yourself, and you went for a couple of walks a week? Well, I said, listen, it's not debatable. I need an answer. And he was like, okay, I'll do it. Is he going to do it? I don't know. But I made him give me an answer. In the last 4 years, no one else can get it out of him. Because I had to confront him in a way that he had to realize where his pain was. His pain is that he's really alone. He doesn't want to be by himself. He doesn't want to cook for himself. So he's just like, screw it. Why bother? But what's more painful, a heart attack by yourself, open heart surgery, or cooking for yourself and going for a couple walks? Which pain is worse? You're going to have pain either way. You get that? They're going to have pain either way. You got to make them realize which pain's bigger, which pain's less. That's a big deal, man. And that guy was maybe thinking about not resigning. You think I built value by doing that for them? It's important that you do that. You got to know where they're at and what their objections are. And if you don't understand their objections and you cannot solve them, they will not trust you and lean into you. If you realize that they can solve your objections, you can lean into them, they will lean into you and look for more answers, especially if you're doing it with empathy and you really actually give a guy. Actually, like that guy will really have a heart attack in 10 years and really have a problem. He's going to be miserable. And I said, look, you're going to be on a fistful of pills, open heart surgery or heart attack. Do you want that? No. They said, then do start doing something small for me today so that you can get better tomorrow and watch the difference. And he was just like, the light bulb went on. I saw it. I saw it. Because no one put pain that big in front of him, because the pain of being by himself to him was more than anything else. But when I gave him a heart attack, open heart surgery, he didn't like that at all. That pain was real. And people really identify with that stuff. I told you, man, we do those lectures. We have everybody close their eyes and we ask them, where do you see yourself? And at 75 or 70 years old, everybody says what? Walk on the beach with my grandkids or up in the mountains. Those are the two answers I get from everybody. Right? No one ever says, I see myself in a nursing home drooling at myself with a lady spoon-feeding me while like, she cleans out my colostomy bag. Never had that answer ever in my history of 22 years of doing this. Ever have had that. Never had anybody go, you know, I could see a nurse feeding me and taking my colostomy bag off and cleaning it and refilling it. Never. Ever, ever, ever. No one ever sees that. Because if they did, what would they be doing against it? They'd do anything not to get there. The whole idea of a progress exam is to get them to see if they don't do things for themselves today, they're going to have that pain tomorrow. Humans don't like pain. Emotional, physical pain, they don't like them, period. Animals don't like pain. They'll do anything to move away from it. If you show them that pain, they'll move away from it. But if the pain's not big enough, they don't care. What's the point? Hey, my spine, I feel good. Good adjustment. I got to feel better after the first adjustment. I feel great. I'm good. Bye. No. You understand? The pain comes back next time. It may not be fixable. It may mean you need surgery. If they're a phase two generation, what does that mean? Is that pain worse than the pain they feel today? You got to make them realize that there's certain levels of processes. What's number three? Did we go over that?
That was number three, where they were and where they're going.
Okay. So, and then we have the questionnaire of knowing where they are, and we also have the understanding of what they've done in the last visits, right? And also the results. Are they good, in other words, are they getting good results, good compliance? Are they bad results, good compliance? Are they bad compliance, good results? And are they, like, doing everything you're asking, and they're getting no results? So knowing that, based on the questionnaire, based on their frequency, gives you a conglomerate of what you're doing when you walk into these, progress exams. You have a clear understanding of what you're dealing with. Find the objections, find where they're at, understand what they're moving away from and why they're moving away from it and how to help solve that problem. Once you do that on the progress exam, everything else changes. Questions? Good?
Yeah.
So this is where I think if more doctors did this consistently and did it effectively, their re-sign rates would go through the door, their compliance would go through the door, their PVA would go through the door, their ease at the front desk would go through the, you know, becomes a lot easier downhill. Then all of this stuff hinges on doing all of the parts. You do all the parts, you get all the results. Cool, man. Good one today, guys. See you guys next week. We'll be breaking down, I don't know what we're breaking down next week. I don't have my schedule yet, but we're breaking down something next week and going after it and targeting it and chewing it up. And we'll be talking about some upcoming things we have coming up for the podcast. I think we're going to have some cool changes. So we'll be talking about that in next weeks to come. And until then, see you guys next week.
See you later.
See ya.
Bye.